Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric, a teacher with LSAT Demon. Joining me is Callie, another teacher with LSAT Demon. Great to see you, Callie.
Great to see you again on the podcast.
Yeah, great to have you back. We want to talk about something which is on many students' minds. We get a lot of emails about it, or even if it's not the explicit topic of your emails, it is something that we hear from you kind of in the background and certainly talk about with our students a lot, and that is anxiety, test anxiety, or the anxiety of sitting down and taking a practice test. I was fortunate enough that although I did get nervous for my tests, I didn't find it overwhelming, like something I couldn't overcome myself. But others have a much harder time with feeling like test anxiety gets in the way of them actually performing to their full abilities on the LSAT. So maybe we'll just kick it off with your experience, Callie. Is test anxiety something that you dealt with the LSAT?
Yeah, I mean, with the LSAT, I think I was fortunately enough as well that it wasn't anything that was overwhelming. I definitely felt the anxiety at points, and it was a lot. And especially, I know that kind of catastrophic thinking, like, oh, this is my one test, one chance, and, you know, what's going to happen if I mess it up and things like that, that comes into my mind a lot. But I grew up like in China, and we had very serious testing culture there. And that was very much like affected how I treated these tests, and I had to find ways to kind of deal with constant pressure and anxiety around that. We had like a ranked, so like my whole grade would be ranked every month based on one single test. And that could be really nerve wracking for a lot of children that were like 12 years old, and every month where you're seeing exactly where you're at compared to your classmates, which is similar to the LSAT in a way, right? That's how it is. You can take it multiple times, but every time it feels kind of overwhelming. So I developed a lot of strategies to kind of manage that on my own, and also learning a lot more about mental health resources. And I think it would be great to share with everyone how I dealt with it. But before that, maybe Eric, you said you haven't like felt the overwhelming anxiety as well, but I'm sure you also had like experiences in like kind of coping with the nerve-wracking experiences, and how did that go for you?
Yeah. So I think what I leaned into was something that my dad used to say as a swim coach. I grew up in an athletic family with my dad and my brother, and he was always a coach and an athlete himself. And something he would tell his swimmers is that if you're nervous, it means you care. And I felt like that was kind of a useful thing and a sort of a reinforcing thing to say to myself, is like, hey, if I had any amount of nerves going in, it meant that I could interpret that as a positive thing. It meant that, hey, it's a good thing that I feel invested. It's good that I care about this test and about what I'm doing. And then it's just a matter of seeing, can you harness that energy in a positive way? Can you say, hey, this is nerves, but it's also excitement for something that I care about. So can I lean into that and kind of use that in a mental way to make myself more excited to take the test? So that was kind of my thing, was remembering those words from my dad. If you're nervous, it means you care.
I like that. That's such a great point, because I don't know where I read it, but I mean, scientifically, they're saying that either chemically or something, that like excitement and nervousness are technically the same thing, right? So
sure.
Yeah, so I think I'm like, not, that's not surprising, but at the same time, how you frame it is really important. If you think that this is a terrible feeling that's gonna like lead to demise, then it's probably not gonna go well. But yeah, I think it's important that we have like these thoughts around like, what kind of narrative are we creating around these feelings that we have? Because it's normal that we all have these feelings. This is an important test in many ways, and we do care.
Totally.
I think that excitement of like, hey, I'm going to be able to perform on this and show or prove What I can do, that's something that I definitely referring into. And also, I think thinking about, stress is not always a bad thing. I don't know if I mentioned this, but in animal behavior, we have like distress and eustress, and these are two very different concepts. When you have a certain level of stress, that creates alertness, right? It creates focus, and it's a really good thing. Like, you don't want to be like fully relaxed on the test. That's probably not the best way to go about it. But at the same time, it doesn't, it can't pass a threshold to turn to like de-stress where it's actually hindering your performance as well. So I think stress in moderation is definitely probably a great thing.
You mentioned that you developed some mechanisms, some methods for dealing with your own test anxiety. Mind sharing some of those?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like tricks and gimmicks, but this is something that I developed when I was doing the LSAT. I think a lot of people have this as well. I have students coming to me and saying that, oh, I scored a 170. I was like, congratulations, this is amazing. You broke the plateau, or like, you broke into 170s. And they're like, oh, no, that was just a, that was like a, like some sort of fluctuation, and like, it's not real. So you hear people talk about it in such a way that put themselves down almost in a way. And then whenever they score a bad score, then they're like, oh, that's real. That's a real test that I took, right? So I'm like, oh, wow, these, I think I share that sentiment. Like, when I was taking tests, I had the imposter syndrome. Like, oh, I don't deserve a score. I'm not doing that well. But every score that you're taking, yes, one score, one data point isn't representative, but it is a data point. It is what you are capable of. So good or bad, right? I think we want to accept with an open mind in the same mindset, and not just devalue what you've done. So I think because of that imposter syndrome, right? Like, you're like, okay, I keep scoring the 170s, but I'm like, that's not me. That's just like every time I got lucky. At one point, I'm like, that thinking is probably not helpful. And I think every time then I take the test, because I'm so like, I think that, oh, if I want to score that again, I have to try extra hard. Like, this is not me. This is the best version of me that could score that, because I keep thinking that. Then every test I try harder, right? Every test I rush through harder. I like panic more. I'm extra careful. And eventually, it actually leads to the decreasing scores, of course. But I think at one point I just decided that, you know what? I have so much time to study. I have all these months to go through this. Why don't I just take one test and like completely not care, and just be like, oh, this is my real ability. This is just how I'm gonna be. Let's see how it goes, right? Like, if I score back to like 150s or something, that's fine. But at least I know, oh, wait, that's where I'm truly at. Well, surprisingly, but not surprisingly, like, I scored the same score as before when I was like completely anxious and like breaking down. I'm like, oh my God. But it's the same. It's about the same. It's within the range of like a few score, like a few points. And I think that was a really good lesson for me, like to myself, a good reinforcement in my head that, oh, if I have anxiety and really try, it's not going to help that much. Because if I just relax and keep doing what I'm doing, it's still fine. So I think that was really helpful for me to get that baseline of what I do. Like, what is my actual ability if I were to think that way, right? Because I don't believe that my actual ability is good enough, but I also don't know where it was. So yeah, I don't know if that's something that you would recommend, but
It does. I think what I hear you saying is trying to move away from an obsession with the score. Is that right? Because the common element through a lot of this is fixation on the score, and even going back to your that really scary sounding of the ranking system of the exams in China, like that being a way of scoring you and of having some number that compares you to your peers. And I think that is what really terrifies a lot of people, the idea that you are represented by some number which places you in competition with those around you. That is a scary thing, and that could lead to some anxiety. So finding a way to let go of that score in your studies, or to recognize that it is not, it does not define you forever, is really important.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, like, this is okay. I didn't give more context, but I only did this or like try to, you know, see where I'm at when I'm, when I know that I'm at a higher level. Like, I know I'm ready, but I keep having these anxieties coming at me, right? Like when I'm taking a practice test. So that's what I did to be like, okay, like I have these skills. Why can't I just relax and let them do their thing? But I think for students who haven't, like, you know, gotten to that point of their studying yet, they know that they have more to learn. There's more drilling to do. There's more review to do. Nathan had a, like, I think he had a very straightforward and almost blunt saying. He was like, if you're having, if you're like having all this anxiety partially because probably you're just not good at the test yet, right? Like, if you feel like you're not gonna do great, probably because you don't actually do great yet. And that's could be a huge factor for a lot of people studying. And I think, you know, if you're taking a lot of practice tests in the beginning and just trying to get that score, as you said, if you're focusing on the number so much before you actually develop those skills, then of course you're going to have anxiety. Like, you're going to be like, well, I want to overperform what I can do, because you can't do as much yet. Right. So I think that's important that we focus on, like, is this really a skill issue or is it something else? Right. Is it that you feel like you can't do well, but you already have the skills? Or is it that you're still developing your skills and you're trying to hold that slot machine and see
what
score you can get? I think there's a difference there too.
For sure. And that idea of developing your skills, I think, gets at the idea of a growth mindset, of adopting a growth mindset when it comes to practice tests. Because I know students who feel anxiety not only for official tests, but for practice tests, for doing anything that's going to result in a score that they then have to look at. And I think that comes down to viewing a practice test as another opportunity to generate some number to compare yourself to others or to compare yourself to where you want to be. If you can instead see a practice test as an opportunity to grow, to improve your reading skills, to get better at the LSAT and not fixate too much on the score, that should help with the anxiety somewhat. One other thing I will say is that anxiety, to a large extent, is just you imagining a bad future for yourself. I forget where I read this, but I read a quote recently of someone saying that anxiety is just a fiction about the future. I don't know if that's 100% true. I'm sure that those with an idea of understanding of, like, clinical anxiety and stuff like that, there's way more to it than that. But I think for a lot of people, feelings of anxiety do come from just inventing some story about what is going to be terrible about the future if you do something wrong right now. And it's useful to recognize that that's just made up. You're just inventing that. And it's interfering with what you're doing here and now. So if you can recognize that your anxiety might just be a story that you're telling yourself, and do what you can to let that go, that might be helpful.
I think we're coming back to keep coming back to the idea that, like, you know, how you create your own narrative and how you talk to yourself in a lot of ways is super important. And I think that's where, you know, as cliche as it is, like, mindfulness really is an important piece here. Like, how capable are you to recognize that you're having these thoughts and feelings, right? Like, during the test, you're like struggling with these feelings and thoughts. If you're not even able to be aware that, oh, hey, I'm going through this in my head, or I'm having these, like, visceral feelings, then you're much less likely to actually, like, do anything about it, right? So I think, yes, maybe you don't have to do anything about it, but that first step of, like, seeing that, oh, this is something that my mind made up, and this is something that I'm currently feeling, is completely okay, and it's really helpful, I think, to go through that. And I think, like, you know, sometimes I don't see the point in meditation, but here I really do see, like, when you're able to be more aware of what's going on within you in these situations, like it can really help foster a more healthy relationship with you and your narrative.
Yeah. I think last thing before we wrap up is just to acknowledge that these feelings of anxiety exist on a pretty broad spectrum, and what we're talking about today might address some people's needs, but not others. Is that something you've encountered, Callie, with your students?
Yeah, so I have students coming to me describing their specific experiences in taking practice tests, and some break into tears every time they take the test. And that's something that someone really close to me has experienced as well, and I watched him go through that. And others might say this is just test anxiety and you can just use mindfulness tools. I mean, I'm sure mindfulness tools helps, but in these cases, if it's actually interfering with your day-to-day life, or it's actually, causing you, difficulties to manage these emotions and feelings, and it's overwhelming throughout the day and things like that, I would definitely recommend seeing a professional. And that's something that like the person that I'm really close with really found helpful as well. And what we're addressing is just some kind of probably definitely surface level, more for me, more people who are just feeling some level of anxiety or nervousness. But for others, if it's, if you feel like this is something that's more severe, definitely reach out for help.
100%. Well, thanks, Callie. This has been really useful. For those of you listening, email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.